All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Thursday. It's December 20th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
5 days till Christmas, buddy. So, or whatever holiday.
Dude, I noticed that when you said December 20th.
You could tell that in my mind, I was already counting down the days. Like exactly. I was just doing a quick mental in the spreadsheet math.
Of well, not, like, normally you have to search for the date, and today you just had it right at the tip of your tongue. So I figured it's got to be just.
I'm getting better about this, buddy, because I actually was searching for it. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR.com/deals. Get you started on our free trial. Brought to you by our good friends over at Lineup Lab, with our help from our good friends over at Lineup Lab. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. NBA. Oh, this is NFL. I'll say NFL first. NFL optimal lineups along with NBA plus NHL premium content, free premium or premium chat, which we have people talking sports in there every single night. It's all covered under one subscription package. You're not going to find a better deal like that in the business. So go check it out. DFSR.com/deals gets you started. Week 16 in the NFL. We're going to roll through a cash game podcast, and then we will discuss, or so we'll go game by game tomorrow, where we kind of roll through. There's a lot of things to consider for tomorrow's, for this week's slate in terms of teams with stuff to play for, teams with nothing to play for, teams that are shutting guys down, teams it's unclear who's going to play. So we'll go roll through all that tomorrow on the Week 16 game-by-game breakdown, which is probably promising to be a pretty long one. But today we'll try to hone in on some cash game plays because, interesting enough, for all the things that are we can consider from a GPP's perspective this week, and there are a lot, the cash games to me look like we're honing in at least a couple positions on not too many decisions to make. But I'm not sure quarterback. I kind of focus a little bit more on running back and tight end this week. I know you focus a little bit more on quarterback and wide receiver. But start us off with quarterback, because quarterback actually doesn't seem crystal clear to me at this point. But maybe you can start getting me feeling a little bit better, because I'm looking at some of these names thinking there might be some closer decisions.
Yeah, I think I disagree. I think quarterback actually is somewhat straightforward. I think there's a tier one play and then some speculative guys you can kind of flirt with elsewhere. But I really think Dak is the tier one play this week. Yeah, he's coming off a bad week against Indy in what should have been a decent matchup for sure. But just looking at his game log prior to that, this guy was actually really, really consistent coming off his best week against Philly. I wrote this up last week, but it's still true that he's on a career best in terms of completion percentage. The touchdown interception ratio is still solid. It's a bounce back from last season. Last game, he didn't run at all against Indy, which is, I guess, a little concerning because he is still on pace for his most yards and most rushing touchdowns of his career. But he's still really cheap, and it's just the old rule of playing quarterbacks against Tampa Bay this season. Yep. You know, he was a play already last week in an only okay matchup with Tampa Bay, or I'm sorry, with Indy. And if you can get him now in a matchup against Tampa Bay, obviously that's going to be quite a bit more attractive. And especially like when you were looking at the rest of the names and the types of plays that are up there, getting him in the matchup against the team with the highest yards per attempt allowed on the season, I think it's going to be a pretty easy one for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think I pretty much agree with you. I mean, one thing that's sort of underrated about the Colts that the Cowboys played last week are flirting as like a top 10 defense this year. They're number 11 in terms of DVOA, but
yeah, they're
top
just four a really
against
good
the rush.
Team.
Sure. Yeah, and I mean, look, this is after last week's game, so they're going to take a jump up after pitching a shutout. So they didn't go into that game. Oh, I take it back. Last week they were 11th too, so they actually didn't really move in terms of DVOA. And then we had Tampa Bay, obviously, who has improved from being the all-time worst defense like they were earlier in the season, and now they're
merely the worst this season.
Now they're just very, 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 very bad. getting out of the, we're allowing like Pro Bowl level usage from guys from opposing teams. I think I'm with you. I think it'll be interesting to see where people land. Football, more than any other sport, has recency bias effect to it. And I think sometimes that is correct and sometimes it's not. And this strikes me as one of those times where it's just not. Like, I'm willing to just forget about the shutout from last week and move on, because the other thing with the Cowboys too, and we're going to get to Zeke in a second, but if we're looking for teams that have something to play for, the Cowboys definitely do. There's a lot of teams that have something to play for, but the Cowboys are only a game up on the Eagles right now. I don't have any idea about the tiebreakers, but they're 8-6. That loss for the Colts was brutal for them last week. And they're only a game up on both the Eagles and Redskins in the NFC East. And it's like not totally clear. There's a couple other, like the Seahawks are kind of hanging around. Like there's a chance they wouldn't make the playoffs. So they just really just need to win this game. So I think I'm with you on Dak. I wouldn't mind throwing him out there again. After him, though, I think that was kind of where I was having some trouble here, because I'm seeing some other names on here. Jameis in the same game. Nick Foles is 4,700. I think that's
So I'm ready. I might be ready for some Nick Foles. That was the guy I was going to jump to next, because you know he got off to kind of a little bit of a rough start last game. I mean, he played earlier this season, played a couple games while Wentz was getting healthy, and didn't light the world on fire. But Nick Foles is actually Like, if you look at that Rams game, 24 of 31 for 270 is pretty good. Like, that's not anything to be ashamed of. And sure, it didn't turn into any touchdowns. He did get the one pick. He doesn't really do anything on the ground. But if you're going to just have a guy trot out there and complete 24 out of 31 and turn it into 270 yards, which is to say it's not just all little dink and dunk stuff, then I think you're looking at a real quarterback. And whenever you have a real quarterback at the minimum price, you really have to consider it. So
a real quarterback, he won the Super Bowl last year.
That's what I'm saying. And I, you know, granted, like, just crazy stuff can happen. I understand that he won the Super Bowl, and I think people, he also went right back to the bench the next season. So
oh, he's slumped at the beginning of the year. Yeah, he was bad.
And oftentimes your backup is not the guy that you're excited to play when, again, like the Eagles, right now it's 7-7. They are on the outside looking in on the wild card picture, but definitely still in play. So
yep.
They'll have every motivation to win this game. And I think that involves Foles passing the ball. And again, being that cheap means that it's, you don't really have to do a whole lot. And the other thing I'm going to bring up in a little bit, like when we get to wide receivers later on, is that this is actually a pretty tricky week at wide receiver, as best I can tell. And yep. When things get tricky, oftentimes you can get more security at a position by paying up. So while Dak, I think, is like, you know, in a normal week, he would be super straightforward. You just probably play him and you'd move on with your life. I think on DraftKings in particular, that $4,700 you can pay for Foles might be a difference maker. And I think that you're going to have to really think about it. And I think people will be too harsh when they look at the fantasy totals on him, because I don't see any fundamental reason why him being your quarterback should mean that you can't score touchdowns, even if that's been the case briefly so far.
Yeah, I agree with all those points. This is not a position you want to, I don't think, want to break the bank on this week. There are, you know, there's the Roethlisbergers of the world at 6,700 against New Orleans. I think he'll be a consideration for you, for a lot of people,
yeah,
on DraftKings.
Yeah.
You're paying a premium on it. He's easily the most expensive quarterback. He's, you know, 6,700, then Deshaun Watson, then you get Breeze in the same game, but they're not throwing the ball enough. And then you kind of just dump down to some of these other guys that I have a lot less, just have a lot less faith in. So I think, yeah, I think I'm with you on the part where, at least at first blush, it doesn't seem like we're going to want to break the bank at 8,700 for Roethlisberger on FanDuel. I don't know if I really want to go there. I think that we're going to need to take some savings. And we'll go through some of these other quarterbacks in the game by game breakdown tomorrow, because I do think that there are some other guys that we can definitely consider. It's funny too, because Cam was a guy that was coming up pretty high in our system, but they just shut him down. I don't think we're going to roll Taylor Heineke out there. But I will say this, it's still a decent matchup against Atlanta. And then Carolina is still, I think they're not completely out of the playoff picture yet. Although it does help the NFC teams a little more that Cam is not going to play. Let's roll through running back. If this is not another chalk Zeke week, I don't really know what to tell anybody. I've basically copy and pasted the last 4 weeks worth of write-ups on Zeke. It's just nothing changes.
Not even the price.
The price, he actually got saved a little bit because he didn't score a touchdown. He wasn't really all that good from a fantasy perspective last week. He catches a lot of passes, but he doesn't get in the end zone because obviously the aforementioned shutout by the Colts. But the guy is so far ahead of everybody else in terms of how much he touches the ball. It's like comically there. It's crazy. So his on the season right now, he's averaging 26.8 touches per game. The next closest is something like a 12% difference, and that's Gurley at 24, and Gurley's a little banged up. And then you drop all the way down to 22.4 for James Conner, who's coming back and who really knows his status. And then you get all the way down to McCaffrey, who's without a quarterback. I mean, like, there's question marks all the way down this chain until you get to maybe someone like Joe Mixon, and his team sucks. So, like, the Elliott is so far ahead of everybody else. I just can't. I think you'd be insane to not play him. I mean, am I crazy? Am I going overboard again on Elliott? It seems insane to not consider playing, not just paying him 100%. Like, if he's not 100% owned in cash this week, I think you're actually getting away with something in terms of, like, other people paying the effective rate. Am I going too nuts here? Because I don't know.
You might be going a little too nuts. I think if this is a week where if there were really excellent running back value that just came out of nowhere, then I could see not paying up at running back this week. But I think you're starting the week with the assumption that you're going to be playing Elliott and somebody else. And, you know, especially given the state of the flex or the utility on DraftKings, it would be pretty difficult to picture a lineup where paying up for Elliott wasn't correct. I mean, even in a week where he didn't score a touchdown, to still have 16 fantasy points to have that be his worst week for five games prior, where his worst game in that stretch was 23 fantasy points. He's just the definition of solid right now. And I think his last week showed as well. you're going to use him regardless of the game script. You know, he's got 21 targets in the last 2 weeks. Like, the guy is
Doesn't matter if short, get up,
a slot
get down.
Receiver and a running back, and he's like a he's crazy good value right now.
Last week was the first week he hadn't scored more than 23 FanDuel points, and he still scored 16. So you're still getting around 2x on him, and that was about as bad a game as you'll ever get out of him, considering they didn't score any touchdowns. So it's hilarious to me that he's the fourth most expensive running back on FanDuel after Gurley, McCaffrey, then Barkley, then him. I think it's just a mistake. I don't really know another way to put it. Now, after him, I think there's still plenty of value to be had on the slate. I ended up writing up four running backs total because I just really couldn't tier them in a way that made me feel good one way or the other. But Nick Chubb has, since week seven, I wrote, this is going to, if you read the article, this is going to sound almost like this is going to be verbatim basically. But since week seven, after the Browns traded away Carlos Hyde, Chubb is behind only Zeke in terms of usage out of the running back position. That he's beating everybody else in terms of overall touches. He's averaging, he has 148 touches, and I didn't do the math on what that is per game, but I know that the total number is behind only Elliott, and I believe it includes a bye week too. So Chubb is, to me, right sort of in that same tier of the Elliott group of high usage running backs. It just doesn't look like that on the overall season because he shared with Carlos Hyde. He's a huge favorite, 9-point home favorite for the Browns over Cincinnati. Could you just see paying like sort of double spending on Chubb and Elliott at this point? You're starting to allocate a lot of money to a running back, but it just seems like there's so much safety in some of these guys.
Yeah, I think Chubb's okay. I think you really love the potential game script there with them being in the lead. The bone I have to pick about the Chubb v. Elliott comp, and I understand that you're making it not as they're like one-to-one. You're not talking about for people's like season-long fantasy playoffs to play Chubb over Elliott or anything, obviously. But obviously the Browns are just a worse team, and things can go sideways for them, I think, a little bit more easily than they can for Dallas. Last week, notwithstanding,
To me, that gives Chubb even more. I'm not putting him in the same. Elliott is in his own tier, so I'm not trying to. There's no one else for me in Elliott's tier. The fact that there have been games that have gone sideways in that span that I just mentioned. Like the first three games, they just lost, and he still has this kind of usage, right? Like he's. It's not like they've been on this crazy winning streak where they've been running downhill every single game. I think they're like 3-3 during that stretch or something like that. Like there's the fact that he still has this kind of usage even in games that have gone sideways. That actually makes me like him even more. That to me is the ultimate litmus test. If your usage is safe no matter what's happening for your team, then you just are in that elite tier. So I think that the fact that the Browns have to have things go wrong makes me like him just that much more.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think the Browns also have an outside shot at the playoffs if things go like perfectly for them. So I think they will also be heavily invested in giving themselves the best chance to win. And they're not going to be worried about, wearing Chubb out or anything like that. Like he could touch the ball. Like if they go up a touchdown in the first quarter, he could touch the ball 30 times in the game. So I think I'm cool with it. Like when I first heard that name, saw that write-up coming through, I was like, oh, really? With all the other potential great running backs out there, like McCaffrey going in against Atlanta, Gurley, all those other guys. But I think you're right. I think the other thing, as I'm looking at this week, and, we'll segue into wide receiver, I'm sure, in a little bit, but it's going to be, like, this week isn't a week where we're really calling out a lot of, like, $5,000 to $6,000 receivers on FanDuel, and that makes it really tough to pay up twice. Like, it's going to be really difficult. In spite of McCaffrey having a good matchup, in spite of Gurley having a good matchup, you're going to have a hard time playing two of those guys. So Chubb, I think, the decent discount you get on him from those guys, I think, is a material one this week.
Yep, and like I said, 9-point favorites. The Bengals are have all kinds of problems. Basically, they only have Joe Mixon left. Tyler Boyd's out for the season. Green's out. They've already lost the quarterback. They're playing with Jeff Driscoll. This is a bad team. And the fact that I think we're going to have Cleveland is going to have the ball a lot early and often, I think this is going to be a pretty big smash spot for him. The last two guys, so we can just maybe start winding this thing down, is I have Marlon Mack and Tevin Coleman. So we talked about a little bit. I'll start with Coleman. We talked a little bit about this on the Recap podcast in that, now they're obviously Devontae Freeman's been hurt forever, and now Ito Smith is on the reserve, injured reserve, and you would think we're left with only Tevin Coleman, and the Falcons have shown in the past that is not necessarily the case for them because they still have Brian Hill kind of hanging around here. I'm mostly looking at Tevin Coleman at 4,800 on DraftKings. I don't think I'm as interested in his price on FanDuel, but do you think are we still so with 2 days this left to 2 days to process this kind of, which is not a ton of time, but are we feeling okay enough on the Coleman thing, or are we still so worried about the team approach has just never been to have him go totally nuts. The line did shift when Cam went out from the Carolina being favored to Atlanta being favored by 3.5 on the road against the Panthers. Is the Falcon organizational running back philosophy too much to worry about here with Coleman, or can you stomach the 4,800 on DraftKings?
No, I think I can stomach it on DraftKings. FanDuel, it's going to be a little closer for me, especially like you mentioned, Marlon Mack. He's just 600 more than Coleman on FanDuel, and I think the Colts being 8-point favorites probably. And the fact that they're playing just for absolutely everything right now, whereas Atlanta's season's over, leads me to want to lean that way. And if I can afford him, I probably will go out of my way to do that. But yeah, I think on DraftKings, that $4,800 price tag, especially, you know, you could, I just think I want to play both on DraftKings, honestly, so I don't have to throw away a wide receiver position and roll the dice there. But yeah, I think Coleman playable. I'll imagine that it's who he won't get more than 80%. Of the carries, or 75% of the carries or something, but that could absolutely be enough on a $4,800 price tag.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think there's basically this week, there's four running backs I want to play, and you can only play three. I think there's almost no doubt in cash games from my perspective, this is on Thursday, so things change between now and Sunday, but there's almost no scenario where we're not going to be rolling some combination of the four guys mentioned here. Elliott, Chubb, Mack, and Coleman. I think though those guys are clearly, in terms of their overall prices, are just easy cash plays, and now it's just gonna be a matter of kind of mixing and matching them together, knowing that you can only play three. And then you mentioned, you nodded to Mack, and I kind of mentioned it before, but huge favorite here for the Colts. They've shown the willingness to play to run him a ton in games that they're winning. They just did it last week against the Cowboys. So I think you'll see him. And this is like sort of like the recency bias piece of it coming into play as well. I think you'll see him as a pretty highly owned guy against the Giants, who just got just railroaded by Derrick Henry last week.
I think Mack, like if you're comparing him to Nick Chubb, I would have more confidence in playing Mack for cash games on the basis of, I would guess, he'll have significantly higher ownership. And we've just also seen what the Colts' plan is when they're up by a good amount. So, I mean, and I don't know if it's totally correct. Like, I think Chubb is a good play too. But the $800 savings and them probably being somewhat comparable, you know, kind of fill in running backs who have had success mostly on the basis of volume, and the Colts are just a better team, projected to score more points. I think Mack's a really, really good cash game play.
It's close for me. I'm a little, I don't know. I feel there's a price difference here, and we don't need to get into the
yeah, that can be hard to eyeball test for sure.
So I think that I would say this: I feel good about both of them, and I don't feel good about the only thing I don't feel good about is having to leave one of the four guys that I just mentioned off the table. That's really kind of the only thing that I'd not feel. I think if in the end I'd probably leave Coleman off, just because that team, if I had to just choose and I was making the final decision, my guess is Coleman would be the odd man out, just because we've just seen enough from the Falcons to suggest that you can just split carries in the running back. Doesn't matter who's going. Okay, let's go through some of these wide receivers, because I think there's going to be some tougher decisions here, like you mentioned. Yeah. Right now, our system is calling out the Rams guys, like Cooks and Woods. They're struggling. They've really struggled over the last couple weeks, the Rams, Goff especially. Is this kind of where you're leaning, or did you have some other thoughts here on where we're going to go on cash game wide receivers?
Yeah, so I think we can start with the Rams. I'm not too enthusiastic about running any Rams out there, just because they've been pretty, you know, there's just a lot of different ways the Rams can go in any given week, and they're always going to prefer to give the ball to Gurley, especially in a game where they're up against an overmatched team in Arizona. I think I like Woods this week if I had to pick between them. I think with Cooks likely drawing Peterson, then playing Woods becomes a little bit safer, although I will say that we've been on the let's just play Robert Woods because who else are they going to throw to bandwagon for far too long as well. Yeah. We've been kind of gotten a reprieve from it because Woods has been off the main slate, so we haven't had to talk about it as much. But
Josh Reynolds had 12 targets last week. Like Reynolds was the high target guy, and so I'm with you. I'm with you about being a little concerned about being. This was a guy I call like locked in the past, and I don't know. I don't have that same sort of conviction anymore.
It's been a long time. I mean, depending on what you think you need to pay value on FanDuel, that, you know, there's not really a fixed number in my mind, but this guy hasn't topped 16 fantasy points on FanDuel since October 7th. So right. That's a long stretch of a lot of different game scripts, a lot of different opponents, a lot of different opportunity. And by and large, he gets 8 targets-ish a game and kind of turns it into 70 yards and maybe a touchdown if you're lucky. And that's just not exciting to me. But that's the problem at wide receiver this week. It's a lot of guys who you can make a case for and a case against. And I'll bring you into the next one, because I suspect this guy will be chalk even after being a disappointing chalk play last week.
Wait, hold on, real quick. Are you moving off the Rams? Because I want to make one more point about these Rams guys. Before you move on.
Make all the points you want, Pick.
Okay, I just didn't know if you were gonna
I was gonna move off it, so you're
okay.
You're
so I'm gonna make two more things. So with the Rams here, one. The reason I get a little encouraged, well, there's two things to worry about. The thing to worry about is that they're 14-point favorites and this game could be over early. The thing that I'm not as worried about is that Gurley is banged up, and they say he's going to play, and it doesn't sound like he's playing 100% healthy. And so this is a team that will turn to the pass as the run. Like it's not like they have wanted to bring in, I think Malcolm Brown's on the IR too, so it's not like they've wanted to bring in and spell Gurley with some kind of like other running game. They have used they've used the pass as their form of the run and just like done some volume passing in the past. So if you think that
you're like, right, they're 14-point favorites. Like they also have pulled their starters in the past when they're up a lot. I don't know, man. They're heading into the playoffs, like not really playing for a whole lot.
Well, they're playing for home field advantage. Like they're actually playing for home. The one thing they are playing for here is they're basically tied with the Chiefs for home field advantage. And I always wonder about what kind of motivation that is for a team. Like that is a pretty huge deal to be able to play at home, like all the way leading up to the Super Bowl. So, anyway,
tied with the Chiefs in the AFC. Like you're saying that. Do you think they're already worried about if they play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
Oh no, the Saints.
They're a game behind the Saints, right?
Well, yeah. Sorry, I'm thinking the other stupid Los Angeles team. The Rams are a game behind the Saints for home field advantage, and I'm wondering how much that piece of information is like plays in their mind. Anyway, that it was mostly the Gurley thing. If Gurley's not 100%, I wonder if they just say that our plan is to just kind of air it out a little bit more, and that's how we're going to get the lead. And you can move on. Who was the next guy you wanted to throw out there?
The other guy I wanted to talk about was Amari Cooper. Disappointing cash game play from last week. Everything was out of sorts in Dallas, and I think they just lost their way. I don't really know how else to say it. Cooper winds up only getting 7 targets, just turned that into 4 catches for 32 yards. So bad as you could reasonably expect for a guy coming off one of the best games of the whole season the prior week against Philly. I just have to think that Dallas is looking at tape, probably asking themselves why they didn't try to get Cooper more involved. While he wasn't super efficient last week, he was on a tear, a 3-game stretch where he only had 4 passes thrown his way that weren't turned into catches out of the 30 that were thrown his way. So I think we see Cooper out and bounce back. And again, it's a Tampa Bay thing. So it's a combination of a lot of things. So it's the Tampa Bay piece, which is just going to give him a boost regardless. The fact that it's really hard, like if you are trying to pay up at wide or running back, say you want to go Zeke and Chubb, you're going to have at least some middle value at wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And I'm not persuaded right now, and maybe you have a different opinion because we haven't talked about the cheap end of wide receiver this week, but I'm not persuaded that there's guys at 5,000-ish, 5 to 6,000 that I'm comfortable playing. So I think that makes Cooper a pretty easy one for me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much people are willing to kind of go on a bounce back. The 7,000 for him is a great deal. I get a little bit worried about the target share, and I get a little bit worried. And again, this is a recency thing, but he accrued a lot of points by run, like kind of doing stuff after the catch, and that's just is we talked about this on our Twitch stream leading into last week. That is if there's a way that you are going to run hot as a wide receiver in terms of like just going crazy on points, it's to be get a lot of yards after the catch. Like, and that if that's the way you're kind of making your bones, then that is something that can just stop happening. That can go the other way. Like if you're making a lot of catches and never getting past anybody, you know, i.e. the Jarvis Landry's of the world for a long time, then that can go the other way and you have a lot of upside on your price. But I think that the fact that he's still 7,000 probably makes me feel just fine about it. Because like Cooper is so far. Like he's in the McKenny Galladay's coming off a big week, but Julian Edelman, bad matchup. Josh Gordon, like he's just still firmly priced in this lower middle tier, and he probably is higher than that, I would say. So I think I'm with you, and I think I'm with you too that there's just not a lot of the cheap value guys that we've been decently good about drawing out in the past. You know, the Robert Fosters and the Jordy Nelsons of the world. You're saying you don't see too many of those guys this week?
Not right now. I don't, at least they're not showing up in lineups as I was trying to calculate them. I think the one guy. Well, so you mentioned Julian Edelman. He's another guy that I was picking up in the same kind of middle tier here. The Buffalo matchup is certainly not ideal, but I think the last couple weeks we've seen that the Patriots are really hoping to lean on him. 11 targets last week against Pittsburgh in a game where they were trailing, 12 targets the prior week against Miami. And I really just, in my heart of hearts, Doug, I think that he's a double-digit target guy. And I think if you're a double-digit target guy in a Tom Brady-led offense, like if I'm comparing him to Robert Woods, for instance, I would always rather take Edelman, who I think is very securely the best option in the New England passing game right now, versus Woods, who is probably the third best option on his own team in terms of moving the chains and basically everything he does. So, yeah, I think I would prefer Edelman here, understanding that Buffalo, certainly a decent and reasonably tough defense.
Yeah, I think, and there's a lot of guys we're going to mention tomorrow on the game-by-game breakdown, because there's I think there's other considerations here, and I'm with you that wide receiver is likely the position where we spend the most time making sure we do this with every position anyway, so it's like neither here nor there, but really, really honing in and saying, like, let's just make sure every single little thing is perfect here, because that is a time where this week, more than us, maybe some other weeks, looks like there's going to be some guys around the margins that we're going to have to make decisions on. All right.
Yeah, well, are there cheap guys that you feel like I was missing? I mean, like,
no,
Sterling
Shepard, there's not.
He got
that,
nine targets last week. Like, you could.
No,
think
there's
about
not. No, there's nobody missed. That I can see now. Like, there's always guys.
Robbie Anderson, people.
I mean, yeah, like, there's just guys that kind of crop up as we really, really dial stuff in. Usually I've done that by Thursday, but since there was no Thursday game this week, I'm probably a day away, because there's just the Saturday games, but I'm probably a day away from dialing those last half of targets in for guys, right? Like, we're in and around where I think most guys are, and then the final fine tuning is just going back and make sure, like, are we within a half a target on Sterling Shepard? You know, are we within a half a target or so of just, like, looking down this list of some other guys like Allen Robinson or Chris Godwin or guys like this, right? Like, that sort of exist in this 5,000 to 6,000 ish range on FanDuel. Calvin Ridley is another one. And the reason I say half a target is because in football, man, a half a target worth of projection is a lot. that can really, really make a difference. So that's really the only reason I say it. And I'm going long-winded because there's not much to say about tight end. I wrote up Ebron in the same thing where I can see...
Copy-paste.
Well, here's the thing. I get he sucked last week, right? And we could be in for the same kind of problem this week, because we saw that when the Colts are running the ball, Ebron is just not going to be in a lot of those packages.
Right.
Like, Mo Alie-Cox was in those run downhill kind of packages when they were winning, and Ebron is kind of gone. And you have that problem again this week if they're going to be heavy favorites and they're just going to be winning a lot. And, like, I don't know what else you do with a stupid position. Like, are you? We've already mentioned wanting to pay up at running back, probably, or at least upper middle tier and above. Do you want to pay $7,400 for George Kittle against the Bears? No, right? Okay.
Well,
so
let's just go. I mean, we can just go price, and you can see very quickly that this is probably not where you want to be. So you want Gronk? Garbage. Just, you can't play the guy. Caught two balls. Do you want Zach Ertz? Because he was good for a while. He's the most expensive guy, and now he's, in the last 2 weeks, has eight catches for, let's see, 50 yards? No, yeah. 60 yards. So congratulations. You've just spent $7,400 on a guy on about $5,000 worth of wide receiver value. Kittle had a huge week. But other than that, he's been basically the same guy, which is eight or nine targets and six catches for a small handful of yards. I think Ebron is, and then after these guys, now you're like really in the dumpster diving territory. I mean, I guess the one guy I wanted to ask you about, though, was Evan Engram, because some people took a chance on Engram.
Yep.
Engram last week, and he was good. I mean, he was, I think, the most targeted tight end, and if he wasn't, he was at least the guy who turned it into the most production. But what do you think about Engram?
He was the other guy I wrote up.
He's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, I wrote him up. I didn't feel great about it. I started off try to make a list of, here are some other guys you can consider and that won't make you totally puke. And then when I rolled through that rest of that list, like Jimmy Graham's and the Gronks and the Cameron Brates,
I just kept puking.
Yeah, I just was vomiting uncontrollably on my keyboard, and then had to, like, replace my computer. And then I just wrote up Evan Engram. So if you're gonna be a guy at 5,700 that there's any chance that you see double-digit targets, I don't say that you're going to consistently do it. I'm saying there's any chance you get it. Like, so that's where what you're kind of looking at with tight end at this point, is that, or can you even exist in that world? He is one of the few guys that can. It helps him if Beckham does not play again, and he is still questionable leading into this week. They have not said they're going to shut him down yet as of Thursday morning, unless I missed the news overnight. But I don't know why they would trot him out there this late in the season with nothing to play for, but this is also the Giants that still starts Eli Manning at quarterback and drafted a running back with whatever high draft pick. So, like, there's the logic is sort of.
I criticize that pick. Barkley's been really good.
Oh, he's been great. The problem is he's been too good, and, like, that, now they're not going to get a high enough draft pick. Like, this is the problem with playing guys like this. Is that, like, like, they should have just dumpster dove, like, for the entire season. And
I don't know. I think in the NFL you don't really need, like, the. It's not the NBA. You don't need to draft Joel Embiid to have a good draft.
Well, what they need to do is draft another quarterback, but they didn't do that. Anyway, this is a different point for a different day. Okay, so I think that mostly tight end, my final thought on tight end is I hope they just get rid of this position next year and just make it another flex position.
Yeah, these guys are making a push for it. When you have coming off a week where Garrett Celek, Chris Manhertz, and Jeremy Sprinkle were in the
top 5
tight end production weeks on a combined 7 targets.
I will say that Sprinkle and Manhertz are the two of the best names to show up like in a group of guys. At least the names are have some comedy value.
It seems like Manhertz could have been on defense, you know what I mean? Like with a body, like if you can play a body to play tight end in the NFL, you probably could have just played defense and been hurting people and it could have been a thing, but instead he's like just wallowing as the backup tight end in Carolina.
I do think when you grow up with a name like Manhertz or Sprinkle as your last name, like you get bailed out when your body is just like, you know, 6'5", just 100% muscle, and you just can destroy anyone that would ever say anything.
I was thinking about Todd Gurley. He's the one I still think, I literally thought about this when we were talking about him earlier on the podcast, where like my instinct is still like, oh, I want to make fun of this guy.
Little girl.
That instinct goes away pretty quick when you know him in person.
Yeah, when he walks down the high school hallway towards you, and you think for a second about saying something about his last name, and then wonder if like it's worth your life or not. All right,
probably would have tried it once. That would have been my thing, and then probably not again after that. That would have
really been. You're not a very good decision maker. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR.com/deals. We'll be back again tomorrow doing a game by game breakdown. We'll have the YouTube video going up as well. And if you're new to the site or you're new to us, you'll know that we're also streaming live on Twitch leading into Lineup Lock on Sundays as well now. So you can go check that out as we answer questions all the way up to 1 o'clock Eastern. So it's all there for you. And the Twitch thing's free, so you don't even need to be part of the group to be able to do that. But dfsr.com/deals will get you started. So go check that out. 7-day free trial, and you're all set to go. Buddy, talk to you tomorrow when we roll game by game through week 16.
Peace.